reading from Acts 2, verse 36 through 41. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel reading this morning comes from Luke 24, again, the resurrection scene. This is on the same day that Jesus was raised, and some men are going home. Let's listen in on the conversation. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. And he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And now, Lord, may this gospel truly be good news to each of our hearts as you, through your Holy Spirit, speak a decisive word to us. We open ourselves to that word because, well, we love to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's still Easter. And when it's Easter time, we're always talking about resurrection. By the way, resurrection is not just a topic for Easter, but it's what we really focus on around the Easter season. The resurrection really lies at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. You see, if we don't believe this, well, then we're miserable people. We're people to be pitied. In fact, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, our faith is worthless if Christ is not raised. He says, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But there's no pity here. If we're trusting, if we're believing the witness that it's true, then we don't have to hide our heads. Yes, we might sorrow, but there's a way to work with that sorrow. Because even in the midst of the sorrow, there's hope, there's joy, there's peace. And we are witnesses of these things. I wonder if Jesus were to come in and sit next to you, would you recognize him? He might not look like you expect him to look. He might look like, well, somebody that you don't even like. But Jesus is constantly showing up. And that's what happens in this story. Many faiths speak of a moral way of life. They speak of goodness and being ethical and speak of self-denial. You know, that's part of Christianity too. But there's more than that. It's not just a human works deal. We trust a living Savior who is mediated to us through the Holy Spirit, who's constantly, powerfully at work among us, doing things that we can't do. And we just become vessels at that point. What we cannot do, Jesus has done and continues to do. That's the important point of Easter. We might struggle with despair, with sin, with hurt, and Jesus says, give that to me. I'll work with that. In fact, I've been working with it before you ever gave it to me. But just give it to me. I want to take your sadness. I want to take your sin. I want to take your struggle. I can work with that. I'll transform it for you. You find yourself powerless to do it? Well, of course you are. But I'm not. I've been raised from the dead. I have power. Whatever weighs us down oftentimes feels like quicksand, doesn't it? You know the worst thing you can do in quicksand? Flail about trying to save yourself. We need a constant reminder that hope and help is on its way. And the best response to that is relax and let him pull you out. And here's the central point here, is that Jesus has triumphed over death and given us a constant reminder of his ever-living presence. He's triumphed. And he's given us something to say, remember me. Remember that I'm with you. Always. The week's events in Jerusalem had been full of emotion for Cleopas and for his traveling companion. Perhaps they'd been among the crowd the week before as Jesus had come into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. But all that's over now, and they're headed home. Jesus had done some very powerful teaching in the temple, and there were reports about this intimate dinner that he had had with the 12. There were people talking about the endless night of shuffling from Caiaphas to Herod to Pilate and back again. And then that ugly crucifixion. It seemed to destroy all the hopes of the people who followed Jesus and thought that he was about to restore the kingdom to Israel. And now they're on their way home. Emmaus. And a man joins them on their journey. They don't recognize the man, although his presence is deeply moving to them. And he asks them, so what are you talking about? What are these words? And they say, are you the only one that's been in Jerusalem that hasn't heard about what's been happening? And this traveling companion then teaches them from the scriptures. And he says, you know, that this is how it was supposed to be, you know. And he reasons the whole thing out for them. All the while, when you get to verse 32, when everything comes to light, they say to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Ever have that burning feeling in your heart? It's like John Wesley talked about a heart that's strangely warmed. Some hearts are probably more strangely warmed than others. But you know what I'm getting at is that if you've had the experience of a living relationship with Jesus, you know that your heart warms up. No, I don't mean, you know, somebody does ultrasound and warms up that ticker that's in here. It's within you. You start to feel something deep within yourself. And that's what they were feeling as he was talking to them and explaining the scriptures. But they still didn't quite get the picture. And they get to Emmaus, and the man acts as if he's going to continue on his journey. I wonder if he really was going to or not. He probably would have if they didn't ask him to stay. But they did ask him to stay. Suppose they hadn't. But they didn't. They did. And there they were. They were reclining at the table. And their guest takes bread. And he breaks it. And their eyes are opened. And they see him. He's been there with them all these hours. Now they know who it is. It's Jesus. And he vanishes from their sight. Whoa. Now you got a story to tell on this one, right? That's quite a story. Jesus was right in their midst. They knew something powerful was happening. But they couldn't get their hands around it. Their eyes couldn't quite see it. But Jesus gave to his disciples and to all who follow him a visible symbol of his presence. It's bread. Whenever you break this bread, remember me. Whenever you drink this cup, remember me. And as soon as he broke the bread, boom, their eyes were opened and they saw who he was. Karl Barth was perhaps one of the 20th century's most famous theologians. He lived in Basel, Switzerland. I've been to Basel. In fact, I remember visiting there in a party with a Catholic nun. And she said, pointed down the street, she says, "That's where Karl Barth lived." I said, "Wow." So for some of you, you think, so what? You know, who's Karl Barth? I don't care. Well, those of us that have studied him, you know that he really shaped a lot of the church in the 20th century. Well, he was in the city, and there was a tourist that climbed onto the same streetcar where he was sitting. And he sat down next to Barth, and they started chatting. And Barth says, "Are you new to the city?" "Yeah," said the tourist. And then Barth says, "Is there anything in particular that you would like to see in this city?" And he said, "Yeah, I would love to meet the famous theologian, Karl Barth. Do you know him?" And Barth replied, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do. I give him a shave every morning." And the tourist got off the streetcar, ecstatically delighted. He went back to his hotel saying to himself, "I met Karl Barth's barber today." That should amuse us. It amuses me. The tourist was in the very presence of the person he wanted most to meet, but without even the most, but with them, even the most obvious clue, he didn't realize that the person with whom he was speaking was the great man himself. Sometimes we're just a little thick. Sometimes we're a lot thick. That Jesus is right in our midst, and we don't get it because we're looking to solve other things. We have our own philosophies, not to mention this big problem that I deal with, and I bet you do too, pride. Thinking, I got it all together, and who needs this guy? And we miss the fact that Jesus is right here. Well, you expect maybe you'd find him in church, but not only in church. Sometimes you don't see him as clearly in church as you do in other places. But you have to have eyes to see. And you need the clue. And Jesus says, "I'm going to give you a clue to my presence. Whenever you eat this bread, remember, I'm right here with you." He uses a very common staple of food to identify himself. Now, we think a lot about food, don't we? Some of you are probably already thinking about food. As to, you know, what are you going to eat this afternoon? And tonight? Maybe even tomorrow night, maybe next Sunday. Food. Many of us are just plain foodies. Isn't it interesting that Jesus took something that we love and says, "Whenever you do this, remember me." He wants us to remember his presence constantly, to allow the bread on our tables to open our eyes more often than monthly. And it doesn't even just have to be bread. In other cultures, no, they don't use bread as readily. But there are some cultures where every time you eat, rice is in the middle of the plate. Right? I'm looking at Dave Chong. I was in the Philippines 2 years ago. In the middle of the plate, it's like an upside-down bowl of rice. The bowl is not on it anymore, but it's formed right there in the middle. And all the other stuff is around it. And I'm thinking, that's the staple. Whenever you eat rice, remember me. That's the point. Jesus, in this story, appeared to be the guest. But the guest broke the bread. Because he's really the host. He's the provider. He's the redeemer. He's the lover. We might say, so what's the big deal? We throw bread away. Well, when Jesus was giving this, Bread was not something you threw away. You used it, even if it was a little stale. Most of us, when the bread gets stale, and where does it go? Out to the birds, right? If it gets there. Sometimes we throw it in the wastebasket. Stale, don't want it anymore. And not in that culture. We eat this. It's precious, scarce at times. And Jesus reveals to himself to be the bread out of heaven, coming down, that feeds everyone. So when you eat, he says, I'm the provider. Do you get it? I'm the provider. I've given you life. There's something very special about sharing bread. When we get together at a meal, we were so blessed to be able to share at a meal yesterday afternoon with the Liu family, and there was just wonderful fellowship around the tables. There's something about sharing around the tables. I mean, to have a funeral and not go out to eat is like, something's wrong. We got to get together. We've got to share around these tables. We've got to get our arms around one another. And as soon as we do, Jesus says, I'm right there in the midst with you. He's encouraging us. And that's what we share. We share encouragement and wisdom and friendship. We need constant reminders that we are not alone, but he is right here with us. And he says, I want to open your eyes. So, like Cleopas and his friend, we need constant reminders. And Jesus says, here it is. Here it is. It's here, but it's also on your table at home. So, let's celebrate. He's right here with us. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in so many ways, but perhaps never more powerfully than when we find you in the midst of a meal. And so, Lord, we come now to this table and we celebrate your presence here among us. We ask, Lord, that the presence of your Holy Spirit will move in the heart, warm the heart of anyone who's struggling with an issue of faith or doubt. And just draw them, Lord, into your arms where there is love and joy and hope and truth and goodness. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, we pray.